الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. إن شاء الله today we will talk about the duty of yesterday we talked about duty of children towards their parents. Today we will talk about the other side, which is the duty of parents towards their children. This is probably one of the most neglected things in the world, globally. Because at the risk of oversimplification, but probably I am right, that the root cause of all the social corruption that we see around us is the lack of upbringing of children. One cannot imagine that children are brought up in homes, Muslim or otherwise, on principles of integrity, honesty, compassion, courage, and we would still have the same kind of corruption. This is not possible. So if we are having this corruption, then it means that there is something intrinsically and very fundamentally wrong with how we are bringing up our children. Muslim or otherwise, because issues of integrity, compassion, honesty, decency, these are not necessarily restricted to Islam. They are Islamic, but they are also values which are shared by all decent and good people in the world, irrespective of which religion they belong to, or even when they don't belong to any religion. I mean, I know there are some atheist friends of mine who are among the most, who are among the people I respect the most, because of the fact that they are such decent and good human beings. They are atheist. Well, I obviously disagree with them on that part of their belief. But if I had to choose, may Allah forgive me, if I had to choose to trust between them and some of the Muslims I know, I wouldn't blink an eyelid before I trusted the atheist, long before I trusted that Muslim who has a beard, who has a hijab, who prays 5 times a day, but I cannot trust him with a chicken. I mean, this is the reality today, unfortunately, and I'm very sad to say that, but this is the actual reality. Our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not seem to manifest itself in any change in our character whatsoever. And this is the root goes down to how we bring up our children. And therefore, while we talk about the rights of parents, and yesterday we spoke about them, let us also understand that children also have rights. Today, parenting, for the most part, is an accident. It's not even deliberate. You had a child, it happened. There's no planning for this, it just happened. Fortunate or unfortunate accident. And the child is then brought up just like that. Parents think that as long as they're feeding those children and keeping them dry and giving them a roof over their heads, their job is over. And that's why sometimes I jokingly ask people, how many kids do you have? And usually they put up their hand and they have 3, 4, 5. So I tell them that kids are the children of goats. They are not the children of human beings. The children of human beings are called children, they are not called kids. And I said the reason why we do not bring up our children is because we consider them to be kids, baby goats. So if they are baby goats, then obviously all they need is some grass and they need to be kept clean and dry, and that's enough. There's no upbringing. How do you bring up a baby goat? But if you are bringing up children, then it's a different matter. That's the reason why it's very important for us to understand. Children have rights. The first right of the child is that you give the child a good name. Today we don't know whether it's a name or a noise. When they take the name, you can't be sure, is it a name or is it a noise? Somebody has made some sound with their mouth, whether it has any meaning, wallah alam. It's very important, give them good names. Names have their own effect on the child. You know, the child feels something when he's called Muhammad or he's called Ahmad or he's called Ibrahim. There's something the child feels, you know, he says, my name is Ibrahim, I can't be seen in a disco. And my name is Muhammad, I cannot be smoking cigarettes, I cannot be on drugs because my name is Muhammad or Ahmed. So give them good names. Second thing is introduce them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Today parents feel very ashamed, and quite rightly so, if their children cannot speak English, if their children do badly in school, if they fail an exam, they feel very bad, and this is good, they should feel bad. But parents have absolutely no shame whatsoever. If the same child, and I'm not talking about small children, I'm talking about, you know, teenagers and 20s, they feel no shame whatsoever. If that teenager, if that person in that boy or in his 20s cannot give the adhan properly, they feel no shame if that boy cannot lead salah properly, two rakat of salah if he cannot lead properly, they don't feel anything bad about it. If their son or their daughter cannot read the Quran properly with tajweed, they feel absolutely no sense of shame. Why? Because they themselves can't read Quran with tajweed. They themselves do not know how to read Quran. How will they teach the children? They feel no sense of shame if you go to the child and say, okay, how many books have you read? What is your reading? What have you done? The child says, I have not read anything. I don't know. What is the book? And they feel no shame because you ask the same question to the parents, they have the same problem. You ask them, what books have you read? They have not read any books. How will we learn? How will we get knowledge if we don't want to read? So it is very important for us in terms of upbringing to introduce children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To introduce children to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you do that? By going to one jalsa every year? Huh? Or by demonstrating the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the house day in and day out? What does my father and mother look like? Do I see the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the behavior, in the appearance, in the talk and walk of my parents? That is what the child should see. When we are eating, when we are sleeping, when we are talking, when we are doing things, is the name of Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in your house at all? Today, the name of Allah and the name of Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have become taboo in the houses. Nobody mentions the name. Now, the only time you say the name Allah is when you are standing in salah, you say Alhamdulillah, or you say Allahu Akbar. Otherwise, there is no conversationally, we do not mention Allah, or we do not mention, and we do not mention Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in normal conversation. Is this the sunnah? Is this not the sunnah? Would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have liked this? Do you think Allah will like this? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like. Do we have this conversation? We don't have. The majority of homes, this conversation is not there. So how are the children going to be introduced to Allah and to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ask children, introduce them to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his seerah. Go home and ask your own children this question and then cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you are responsible. Ask your children, what do they know about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ask them to name the children of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just name the children. The only child of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that most Muslims will name is Fatima radiallahu anha, and that is thanks to the Shia, not because of you. What about the other daughters? What about the sons? We don't even know the names. How is the sunnah and how is the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to become part of our lives when we do not even know it? If you think I'm exaggerating, tell me. Then, third thing, give them great aspirations. Great aspirations. Teach them their own history. Teach them their own history. And the history of the Muslims is the history of the Muslims. It's not the history of your tribe or history of your country or history of your nationality. It is not the history of the Arabs or the history of the Indians. It is the history of Islam. Teach them that. Give them great aspirations. I mean, recently, I'm listening to a series of lectures about Islam on BBC. Now, the tragedy is that all of these things are made by others. Very, very good lectures in history. There are a series of 20 lectures on history. And the way that historian, the way he speaks about Umar ibn al-Khattab, ajib. I learned things about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and his administration and what kinds of effect it had on the establishment of Islam in that history lecture, which I did not know before. The way he speaks about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, with such respect, with such, you know, awe, that what kind of a ruler was this, that he had such foresight. Do we hear this kind of talk in our homes? Who is Umar ibn al-Khattab? Is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, is he closer to us, or is he closer to a British historian who is not a Muslim? But how will we know Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu if we never read about him, if we never study? So teach them history, give them aspirations, give them goals. The only goal we give our children is get a good job. This is a goal. You have to get a good job. You have to make some money. You have to get married, buy a car, get a house. This is a goal. Give them aspirational goals, great goals. Give them those goals. Let people think you are mad, doesn't matter. Makes no difference. But give them, say, let them dream about things that frighten the daylights out of other people. That's the only dream worth dreaming. Otherwise, what's a dream? I mean, you know, dreaming about a triple chocolate sundae is not a dream. You can go and buy it in the shop. Give them great goals. Give them role models. Give them people to look up to. And who are the two most important of those role models? You and your wife, the mother and the father. The two most important role models in the life of the child are the mother and the father. Nobody else. Everybody and everyone else comes after that. The two most important role models, mother and father. Whatever that child becomes, that child will become looking at you. And if the child does not become, then know that you are the cause. You are the block. You are the impediment. You are the speed breaker in the child's development, because you did not give them that role model. Because you're too lazy, or Allah knows what. If you are going to be spending your time in kitty parties, and you're going to be spending your time in this dawat and that dawat and this marriage and that marriage, and sitting and passing the time of day, blowing a lot of hot air in this club and that club, slandering and backbiting people, what kind of children do you think you will bring up? What kind of children do you think? If you have no shame whatsoever watching TV serials which have all kinds of haram in them, the whole family sits and watches. I tell you, I don't know what is wrong with the Muslims today. The whole family, the grandparents, three generations, four generations, grandparents, parents, children, in some cases children's children, they all sit and watch some nonsense on television which has got all kinds of haram. Nobody has any sense of shame. This is our upbringing of children. What do we expect to happen? What do we expect to create? And that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there will be parents on the day of judgment who will see their children being thrown into the hellfire, and they will know that they are the reason. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save all of you from that fate. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept me free from children. So at least I will not see my children falling into the hellfire, because I don't have any. Not because I am a great parent. But you have children, so take care of them. It is their right on you, that's why I am saying, be very clear, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you and will punish you. Your child is your sadaqatul jariyah. Is one of the three things that gives you benefit in your qabr. He is a saleh child who makes dua for you. But remember also that if you are the cause for the child going bad, then that child will become the source of azabul jariyah for you. If you brought up the child well and you did your duty, and after that something else have happened and the child went astray, that is not your responsibility. And we have seen this also happening. We have seen parents who bring up their children well, alhamdulillah, and then may Allah forgive them, Allah alam, I don't know what happens, and they go off to some Western university, and next thing you know, the child is a murtad, and he's become, you know, he's left Islam or he does something, well, may Allah protect them and may Allah bring them back to the fold before they die. But if that happens, that is not your responsibility. You did your job, alhamdulillah, may Allah protect you. But if you did not do your job, if you did not do your job, you did not introduce your child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to this deen and to the foundations of Islam, to the principles and values and ethics and morals of Islam, and that is the reason the child went astray and the child became, you know, Allah knows what, then please remember, you are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All parents feel very nice when they hear about the rights of parents. You know, the Jannah is under the feet of the mother, and the father is the door of Jannah, and so on and so forth. They feel very nice about this. But please understand, that is because, and that is for parents who fulfill a responsibility. There is no Jannah under the feet of the mother who is spending all her time in some kitty party. There is Jahannam under her feet. There is no Jannah under her feet. Because you spend all your time in the club and you think there is Jannah under your feet. What Jannah? The father who is spending all his time in some club and who is spending all his time gallivanting all over the world and leaving the children to grow up like weeds, that father is not the door of any Jannah. That father is the door of Jahannam. So make no mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives these darajat for a reason, not because you just happen to have a child. Allah gives it for a reason, and that reason is because you spend your time to bring up those children, because you sacrifice, because you do those things, you invest, and that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that daraja, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes the child a source of sadqatu jariyah for you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the islah of all your children. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do your islah before that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep those children on the right path. It's a shame that today children are more observant of the religion than the parents. It's an absolute shame. You see this everywhere in the world. The younger generation is more on the deen than their own parents. So let us not fall into this. Let us correct ourselves. Let us at least have some shame. You know, don't treat this like this. How can you even accept that your children are more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than yourself? There's nothing nice about that. There's absolutely nothing nice about that. So please, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to correct ourselves and to have children and to bring up children who will be an asset to us, who will be a credit to us in this dunya and be a source of sadqatu jariyah for us in the akhirah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.